the description of an army of locusts marching in array over hills and into houses and all of that sort without any resistance being possible. So they're like horses prepared for battle. That is, they're on the warpath. These fallen angels are on the warpath. Two, they have something like crowns of gold on their heads, which implies authority. Remember, they were given authority to hurt a certain portion of the earth, and but not to kill. They were like faces of men. That is to say, these were not dumb creatures. These were intelligent beings. They had something like women's hair. This was the most difficult simile for most commentators to comment upon. Like women's hair, what in the world could that possibly mean? Some have hypothesized that it meant the antennae of the locusts that were sticking up, that they had that kind of a bushy look. Others were hypothesizing that perhaps it had to do with the notion of seduction. That somehow that these locusts would not be as blunt and as obvious in terms of the way they inflict pain, but that they would be much more subtle. They had like lion's teeth. Once the seduction was over, underneath was the lion's teeth. That is to say, they were there not to cause good, but to cause harm. They had breastplates of iron. This refers to their own power or protection. Finally, they have something like the sounds of chariots, the sounds of wings. Lindsay had a friend who said, you know, that sounds to me like cobra helicopters, because they make this sound as they spit out fire from both ends of their equipment. And finally, they have something like scorpion's tails. That is to say, they are harmful. They are noisy, they are harmful, they have protection. They, like with the lion's teeth, they commit violence. Like women's hair, they are seductive. Like the faces of men, they have intelligence. Like the crowns of gold, they have authority. Like the horses prepared for battle, they enter into warfare. The idea being that this is a nasty group of dudes who are going to use all kinds of means to inflict pain and suffering for a five-month period, a limited time period, upon those who are outside of Christ. That is, upon those who presumably already belong to Satan. Finally, verses 11 and 12, we close with the fifth trumpet. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. Some have argued that the angel of the bottomless pit would be Satan. But I argued a moment ago when I talked about the one who had the key to unlock of the shaft to the abyss, that I thought, if you look at 21 of Revelation, that it was more likely to be an archangel. But in this particular instance, the angel who would be the angel of the bottomless pit, who would be the king over this particular group of bad dude angels, need not himself have been Satan, though Satan's the ultimate master and king, but he could have been, if you will, one of the hierarchical major demons who was, if you will, there to crack the whip and keep them in line. There have been arguments both ways, that it is Satan on the one hand, that it is a hierarchical, highly placed demon who is there in the bottomless pit, because remember, Satan is not cast into the pit until later, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon, and it means destruction. And that's what these locusts are doing, is literally wreaking havoc or destruction upon the earth. Verse 12, one woe is past, the fifth, now we have the sixth and seventh trumpets to come. One woe is past, behold, still two more, as the sixth and seventh trumpets are, woes are coming after these things. If you think this is bad, in the next one, people are allowed by God to be killed. Whereas on the fifth trumpet, they were simply allowed to be hurt and warned. But they didn't take the warning. And so, if you will, it gets ratcheted up a notch the next time we see a trumpet sounding. Let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer.